What Attitudes Really Count by Robert C. Newman. Brief abstract. A brief study of Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24, to look at God's advice through the prophet on what sorts of attitudes we should and shouldn't have. What attitudes really count? How do we bring our thoughts and emotions in line with God's will? Proverbs 4:23, NIV here, tells us, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. That is, our attitudes and thoughts should be something we guard very, very carefully. Well, we need to know what God wants our attitudes, thoughts, and emotions to be. One passage that is very helpful in this regard is Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 through 24. Here the prophet tells us, this is what the Lord says, let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, or the strong man boast of his strength, or the rich man boast of his riches, but let him who boasts boast about this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, who exercise kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For in these I delight, declares the Lord. So, we're told to not boast about, and by implication so misuse, our abilities. Well, let's think about these. Wisdom. The Hebrew term here, chokmah, is rather broad. It's not just knowledge or intelligence. It's closer to what we would call common sense. It includes both theory and practice or skill. It includes both secular and religious areas. It's certainly something that is desirable to have, that not many people have, and that can be very valuable for success in life. Yet God tells us not to boast about it. Strength. Well, the kind of strength spoken about here is basically physical strength. In the Bible, it's usually found in the context of battle. In all ages and culture, this has been a valuable characteristic. Even in our times, when technology has replaced physical strength in warfare, physical strength and ability are highly regarded, and athletes are often well paid. So many people, especially men and boys, very much wish to be strong. The Bible suggests that that should not be our prime wish. We should boast about that. How about wealth? Well, wealth has always been a means to gratify one's desires, an important form of power, a valuable form of security, so long as your wealth itself is secure. So, of course, everyone should wish to be rich, shouldn't they? Well, God's answer is no, not if they wish to please God. Well, why not? Well, we can think of some reasons from Scripture. First of all, you can't match God in any of these things. And a person may say, well, I know that. But the point here is, so it's foolish to set yourself against God's will if you're saying, well, I don't care what God wants, I want wealth. You're asking for it in some sense. And, of course, these abilities that we might have in regard to health and strength or wealth and such aren't things we earned. Paul says it this way in 1 Corinthians 4, 6 and 7. Now, brothers, I've applied these things to myself and Apollos for your benefit, so that you may learn from us the meaning of the saying, do not go beyond what is written. Then you will not take pride in one man over against another. For who made you different from anyone else? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not? So boasting gives the impression, or in fact reflects one's own thoughts, that somehow you are better because of this and you deserve it and such, even though it has been a gift of God. Why not? These abilities finally guarantee nothing. Solomon says in Ecclesiastes 9:11, I have seen something else under the sun. The race is not to the swift or the battle to the strong, Notice food come to the wise, or wealth to the brilliant, or favor to the learned, but time and chance happen to them all. Solomon is not saying that these abilities don't often win races, battles, food, wealth, or favor, but he's saying they don't always do so. If you're going to, what should we say, build your life around abilities that God in fact has given you and that finally guarantee nothing, you are asking for trouble. We need to build our life around God, who gives us all good things, and who's the only one who can guarantee anything. In any case, these abilities are abilities we cannot keep. Psalm 49, 16 and following says it this way, "Don't be overawed when a man grows rich, when the splendor of his house increases, for he will take nothing with him when he dies. His splendor will not descend with him. Though while he lived, he counted himself blessed, and men praise you when you prosper. He will join the generation of his fathers, who will never see the light of life. A man who has riches without understanding is like the beasts that perish." So, what should we do? Well, we should, as we'll see in the next verses, boast about God's character and seek to imitate him. Jeremiah 9:24. "But let him who boasts boast about this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For in these I delight, declares the Lord." We live in an age when health, wealth, and wisdom are among the chief goals in life. Though this has probably been the case throughout most of history. This even has a large influence in the church, though God does not approve. God wants us to know that he values something else, and we should too. This is about boasting. Let him who boasts boast about this. Jeremiah is probably speaking ironically here, since there are many who boast about knowing God, but don't really know him. Consider, for instance, the case of the Pharisee in Jesus' parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector in Luke 18:9-14. That goes this way. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. "God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, give a tenth of all I get." But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." I tell you, this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. In any case, God does not boast about his wisdom, strength, wealth. If we really know him, we will care about what God cares about. And he cares about his kindness, justice, and righteousness. Now, when we think about kindness, justice, and righteousness, these are all character traits which those who concentrate on wisdom, strength, and wealth will tend to overlook. Instead, they will tend to use their wisdom, strength, and wealth to take advantage of those who are ignorant, weak, and poor. God only cares about these things, but he says, "I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, righteousness on earth." Just as the Lord exercises these traits on earth, that is here and now, so should we. He goes on to say, "In these I delight." God is wiser, more powerful, and richer than anyone in the universe, yet he delights in kindness, justice, and righteousness. If we want to be like God, so we should delight in what he does. So, conclusions. Let us seek to imitate those traits of God that he delights in. Kindness, justice, righteousness. Yet, even imitating God is far beyond our abilities, and we might despair in something like this. But God will give us some measure of success in imitating him in kindness, justice, and righteousness, if this is what we really want to do. Well, that's the end of our brief talk. May the Lord grant that we will care about what He cares about, and instead of being hung up about our wisdom and wealth and strength, we will care about kindness, justice, and righteousness. I pray that it may be so in your case. Amen.